I want you to turn with me to Daniel chapter number 3. Daniel chapter number 3. Now, if you've read your Bible at all, you already know what's fixing to be talked about. And this is a big fear for preachers. There's two big fears for preachers. There's a preaching a passage of Scripture that everybody doesn't know. And to me, the bigger one is preaching a passage of Scripture that everybody knows. Amen. And if you have been in church more than once in your life, you probably have heard this story that I'm going to preach on this morning. But this is what I want to challenge you to do this morning. Don't cut me off. Okay? Listen, I know you've heard this story 100 times, but you need to hear it this morning. Amen. I know you've heard it 1,000 times, and you could probably preach this sermon better than I can. But my assignment this morning was Daniel chapter number 3, okay? So y'all going to have to bear with me. And let's all pretend like we've never heard this story before in our lives. Let's not look through the lens of a Sunday school class when we were 4. Let's look through the lens of, hey, I'm 26 years old. Some of y'all is more than that, amen? And I need this today, amen? It wasn't just when I was in children's church. I need it today, amen? So let's take the blinders off this morning. Let's take the familiarity. Let's put it behind us. And let's focus on what God has for us this morning. Amen. So if you know this story, which most of you do, this is the story of 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These are commonly referred to as the 3 Hebrew boys. Amen. And so they are in Babylon. They are in captivity. And the king now at this time is Nebuchadnezzar. And these men have been put over some things. They have been given some privileges. They have been put over some things in Babylon. They have entrusted them with some things. But they did not quit serving God. They were just like Daniel. Daniel in chapter number 6, we'll see just a few chapters later, is thrown into the lion's den. But we see in chapter number 1 that he purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. In other words, in chapter number 1, these boys gave their heart to God. They purposed in their heart. They made commitments to God earlier in the chapter. And their privileges and their social status and their opportunities that they were given did not affect their walk with God. Amen. And so they continue to walk with God. And Nebuchadnezzar, as we all know, he comes up with this great big golden image, that he has this great plan, that it looks like him, and he's going to make everybody bow down to this great big golden image. And he makes a decree, and he says, at what time you hear the music, when you hear the music, I want you to fall down and start bowing to this golden image, which I have set up. And as we all know the story, these 3 Hebrew boys says, in today's language, they said, "Nah, I'm good. No, I'm good. I think I'll just stand right here because I'm not bowing down to anything except for the one true God." Amen. And so they stood when everybody else should or would have bowed and should have bowed. They said, "No, we're not going to bow. We're not going to do that. We serve a God that's way bigger than a statue, who's way bigger than a point in time, who's bigger than a kingdom. The God that we serve is greater than you fill in the blank." Amen. They said, "We're not bowing." And so they stood. And every time I read this story, I just picture, you know, anybody ever been to a concert or anybody ever been to somewhere where there's a ton of people standing together and you see all these heads, you see all these people that are standing together, and I can imagine all of them at once bow down, Brother Vic. Can you see the whole sea of people just go down? And right in the middle of them, I can just see 3 boys standing there looking at one another. Like, I wonder if anybody's looking at us. Amen. I'm sure they stuck out like a sore thumb. Amen. I'm sure they stuck out like a sore thumb. But I cannot help but tip my hat. I cannot help but respect these men, because in the face of the greatest adversity, and they said, "Hey, look, if you don't bow, we're going to throw you into a fire." In the face of danger, in the face of adversity, in the face of this isn't going to go well, they said, "We're going to stand. We're going to stand. And we're willing to take the consequences." Amen. Is there anybody like that in here this morning? He said, I'm willing to stand and I don't care what the consequences are. So this morning, I want you to read with me in verse number 12. I've laid the groundwork to get us to verse number 12. And I want you to read with me in verse number 12. The Bible says, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affair. This is some people talking to the king. Y'all just help me right here. These are tattletales. Nobody likes a tattletale, amen? Nobody likes a tattletale. And so these men come up to the king. They say, hey, look, there are certain Jews that you've set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, this is where I want to draw my text this morning, this phrase right here. Is it true? Is it true? Is it true? Nebuchadnezzar brings them in. They've just made the biggest stand of their life. And he walks them into his office, if you will, right in front of his throne. And he says, are y'all really this crazy? Is it true? Is it true? O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Satan better watch out when he starts asking questions like, who is that God? Because he's fixing to show you who he is, amen. He's fixing to show you. And so, where are we at? Verse number 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar. I can just see him shaking his head. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, king. We ain't even going to think about this. We're not careful to answer you. We don't even need to get our lawyer to write it up for us. We're just going to go right off the hip right here. We're going to tell you exactly what we're thinking, okay? If it be so, in other words, if you really mean what you're saying, you're really going to throw us in the fire. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Some of the best three words in the Bible. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his vices was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace was exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? Nebuchadnezzar says, hey, did somebody put something in that drink this morning? Or am I seeing things? Or is this really happening? Did we not throw 3 in there? I mean, I'm a pretty smart guy. I'm the king over Babylon. I know how to do math. I know how to do simple math. I can count. I thought we only threw 3 in there. Lo. I want you to look right here. Where are we at? Verse number 25. Lo, I see 4 men. Not bound. Not tied up. Not in their coats. Loose. Walking in the midst of the fire. And they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And I want to say this. The Son of God had not been born yet. But when you see him, you know who he is. Amen. That fourth one looks a lot like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God. He's done changed his tone. Amen. He said, who is that God? And we have just witnessed him find out who is that God. Amen. And he said, oh boys, hey, servant, servants of the Most High God, come forth, come hither. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth in the midst of the fire, and the princes and governors and captains and the king counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no, listen to this, power. I want to say this, Satan has some power, but he ain't got all power, amen. And the fire had some power, but it didn't have all power. The Bible says, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed. Listen to this. This is just amazing. Nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and blessed and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. What a beautiful story. We could stop right there, and it was worth coming to church. Amen. It was worth coming to church. Right there. We just reading about God, reading about the power of God, we could leave right now and I could be on a spiritual high till Wednesday. But I got a few more things I want to tell you. Amen. So if you'll let me, I want to preach a message this morning, and this is the title of it. Is it true? Is it true? Is your Christian walk with God, is it true? Is it true? And I want to lay the groundwork this morning for the message, and I want to do it by saying this. You will not find out if your walk with Christ is true standing on the mountaintop. You will not find out if your Christian walk with God is where it needs to be on the mountaintop, but you will find out if you're where you need to be with God when you're in the valley. You will find out when that door swings open on that fiery furnace and you're bound, you will find out whether it is true or whether you are fake. Amen. And my question to you this morning, church, is this. Is your life true? Is your life true? I know you can shout on Sunday morning, but I want to know what you look like on Monday morning. I know you can shout on Sunday afternoon and on Wednesday night. I know you come to Sunday school. I know you read Brother Robbie's devotionals every morning. But listen, the rest of the time, when it's not on the mountaintop, when it's not pretty, when you can't pay your bills, when you are fighting with your kids and when you are fighting with your wife and when you are fighting with your husband and things ain't going right, is your life for God true? Can you stand for God in the middle of a fire? Is it true? If we was to stand everybody up here this morning and walk you to the middle stage and say, Colby Strawder, is it true? Would you be able to honestly say, absolutely. Absolutely it's true. Come what may, I serve the one true God. I want you to notice a few things in their life. Number one, I want you to notice this, their choice. I want you to notice their choice. In verse number 12, bear with me as I get back to it. Verse number 12, the Bible says, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. These men made a choice in their life, and just as these men made a choice in their life, I am urging you, I am encouraging you, I am challenging you as the church this morning. You need to make a decision right now, right here today, that I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do what's best for my family, not so that I can get a name, but because it's the right thing to do. It's because I'm serving the one true God. Let me ask you this question. Have you made a choice? Have you made a choice? These three Hebrew boys weren't standing in that crowd, Brother Sheldon. They didn't make that decision right then. They made that decision long before. Long before. I tell the teenagers all the time that the time to make the decision to stay pure in your life is not on Friday night. Amen. It's not on Friday night. It's right now. When you make the decision now, you can stand by it later. You're not going to, listen to me. I don't know about y'all. Maybe y'all are bigger than me. Maybe y'all are better than me. Maybe y'all are spiritual Sallys. Maybe y'all are spiritual giants. But I'm just be honest with you. When I'm put in the situation, Brother Nick, it's not a good time for me to make a decision. It's not a good time for me to make the most logical spiritual decision. Can I get an amen? But when I make decisions prior to, and I make commitments prior to, I am a lot, my percentage of keeping those commitments goes way up. Amen. And what I'm challenging you to do today is the same thing that these Hebrew boys did. They didn't decide standing in that crowd that day looking at that golden image that I guess we don't need to bow. No, they said, I don't care if he, they probably saw him building that golden image. And they probably said, you know what, one day he's probably going to want us to worship that thing. And I'm going to tell y'all boys right now, when he asked me to worship that, I'm making a decision right now. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. And I'm asking you this morning, these altars are open. Listen, this morning, at the end of this message, during this message, whenever you feel the need, maybe somebody needs to come down here to this altar and say, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how bad this country's going to get. I don't know how hurtful my spiritual walk is going to be to my body, to my family. But I'm going to tell you right now, Lord, I'm going to stand. If it costs me everything, I'm going to stand. I'm going to make that choice today. I don't know about you, but I want to make that choice today. Teenager, you need to make that choice today. Mom, dad, you need to make that choice today. Grandparent, you need to make that choice today. Sunday school teacher, you need to make that choice today, because when you are in the moment is not the time to make the choice. Make a commitment now. Make a commitment now. They chose to stand. Many people make choices today and never follow through with them. Y'all forgive me. I've been on 15 diets since January. Amen. I made a commitment to myself, Miss Beverly, 15 times since January, and I can't follow through with it. Hey, and we might mess up on our diet. We might mess up on our exercise. We might mess up on our health, but there's one thing we need to make a commitment and stick with, and that's our spiritual walk with God. That's living a true and honest life before God Almighty. Don't allow, listen to this. I love this quote. I stole this from somebody. I ain't even going to pretend like it's mine. Don't let the lack of commitment in everyone else affect the level of commitment that you have. Don't, listen, they could have easily said, boys, hey, when they bow, we're going to stand. And then when everybody bowed and they were standing there, y'all, excuse my language, naked, they probably that's how they felt. Everybody looking at them, they could have said, you know what? I mean, we don't mean it. We're just, y'all with me? But no, they did not let the crowd around them, they did not let the lack of commitment in the people around them affect the level of commitment in which they exhibited. Just because your coworker don't stand for God, don't let that change the level of commitment that you have. Hey, help me now. Just because your family don't stand for God, don't let that affect the level in which you're committed. Just because just because your parents don't go to church, just because your kids don't go to church, your grandparents don't go to church, your family don't go to church, your friends don't go to church. And I'm not just talking about church. I'm talking about living a Christ-centered life. Just because they don't do it, don't let that affect you. Amen. Make a choice that today, make a choice. I'm going to stand for God. Let me ask you this question. Have you made a choice? Have you made a choice? I'm sure there's several in here that say, yes, I've made that choice. But there's a lot of us in here. There's a lot of us in here that haven't made that choice. Have not made a sincere, genuine choice and commitment before God that I'm going to stand for you. Don't just assume that you're going to do it. Make a decision you're going to do it. Don't just assume that you're spiritual enough to make the right decision. Make a commitment. Tell somebody else about it. Hold yourself accountable. Amen. That's one thing I noticed about these boys. There was three of them. You know what they said? I'm going to do it if you'll do it. You need somebody like that. Every Shadrach needs a Meshach. Amen. Every Meshach needs an Abednego. Because when Meshach says, they say, get up, boy, what's wrong with you? We done made this decision. We're standing by this decision. Amen. You need somebody to hold you accountable. You need somebody to say, hey, wait a minute, you done made this choice. Wait a minute, we done made this choice. Who is it for you? Have you made your choice? What kind of commitments have you made to God? Let me ask you this question. Have you made your choice? Number one, I see their choice. Number two, I want you to notice this, their confidence. Their confidence. How do you know somebody's true? Number one, they've already made a choice. Number two, they're confident. Confident in what? I'm glad you asked. Amen. Verse number 16, the Bible says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We don't got to think about it. Okay? This is what we're confident in. Verse number 17. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will. You see these matter-of-fact words that he's using? You see these matter-of-fact words that he's using? He says, he will. He will deliver us. He is able. These are matter-of-fact words. He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. These boys were confident, but they didn't walk around, Brother Chris, saying, I ain't scared. You know what they said? I ain't scared. Y'all with me? They were not confident in themselves. They were confident in the God that they serve. And for us to live a life that is true, we must be confident not in ourselves, but we must be confident in the God that we serve. When I come in here this morning, I prayed as at my desk this morning. I was sitting at my desk and I did not have any confidence. I'll be honest with you. I didn't want to come in here this morning. I thought, man, this is going to be terrible, and it still may be. Y'all just bear with me. Amen. If it's good, say amen. If it's bad, say amen. All right? Amen. We'll get through this together. We'll go eat. All right? I was scared to death to come in here. You want to know why? Because I don't have any confidence in myself, Brother Edwin. I know if I stand up here without God, I will fall flat on my face and be the laughing stock of the community. Amen. But I'm not standing up here confident in myself this morning. And the reason that I'm able to stand behind this pulpit and preach to you this morning is not because Dalton Harrington could speak well. It's not because Dalton Harrington is smart. It's because the God that I serve, I'm confident that what I'm speaking comes straight out of his word, and I'm confident that he's going to carry me through. Amen. Amen. These boys were not confident in themselves. They were confident in the God that they serve. For you to live a life that is true, you must be confident. Amen. But you got to be confident in the right things. They were not confident in themselves. I want you to notice this. They weren't confident in the government, even though they were part of it. They weren't confident in their political person that they were going to vote for that year. They weren't confident in their career. They knew probably this is the end of my career. They weren't confident in the money that they had made. They weren't confident in their social status. They were confident in God. Let me ask you this question. If I was to ask you this, what would be your answer this morning? Where's your confidence? Who are you confident in? Some of y'all are wondering why you cannot stick with God, why you cannot stay with God. You want to stand for God and you can't figure out because you're trying to do it. Because you're trying to do it. I don't know why. I'm trying my best to live the Christ-centered life. I'm trying my best to do my best, and I fall, and I fall, and I fall. You got to get your eyes off of you. Amen. You got to get your confidence out of you. We're all men. Amen. We must get our confidence in him. Amen. That's right. My dad used to tell me this quote. I don't know where he got it because he didn't come up with it. Amen. But he used to tell me, we may be the best of men, But at best, we're just men. We may be the best of men, but we're men at best. What does that mean? We're men. We're women. When we put confidence in ourselves, guess what? We're going to fall. But when we take our eyes off of ourselves and put our confidence in Him, we, listen to this, somebody ought to run a lap right here. We cannot lose. When our confidence is in Him, not that we got a good chance, it's impossible. He never fails. Ain't that a blessing? Amen. All right, where's your confidence this morning, church? Number three, I want you to notice not only their choice, they made a choice. Number two, they were confident, but they were confident in God. Number three, they were certain. They were certain. Verse number 18, the Bible says, I love this beautiful verse. It says, but if not what? But if He doesn't deliver us. But if He doesn't fix this. But if He doesn't bail me out. But if it does hurt. Are y'all with me this morning? But if I do fry. Are y'all with me? Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They were certain. They were certain. And here's the problem. Listen to me. This is a big problem today in the Church of America today. This is a big problem. People always are uncertain. People are always giving themselves a door out. Everybody gives themselves a door out. This is what we would have said if this was us. Let's give Him another hour. If He don't come through, we'll change our mind. I tell you what, Nebuchadnezzar, if you give me 30 more minutes, if something don't drastically happen, I'll do what you want me to do. We give Him an opportunity. We give God an opportunity to show up, but we also give ourselves a door to sneak out the back. Are y'all with me? Say amen. The three Hebrew boys stood up there with no apology, with no way out. They said, but if not, if He doesn't come through, guess what, Bubba? I'm not bowing. I'm not bowing. So you can go ahead and heat that furnace up. You can heat that furnace up all you want to, because I'm going to stand right here and I'm going to do what I know I've already made a decision to do. Amen. They were confident in God, but they were certain. They made a decision and they stuck with it. They made a decision and didn't give themselves an excuse to get out of it. They made a decision and were prepared to face the consequences. I want to read you a few things. I thought these were great. They might have said, there is nothing to gain by resisting. Wouldn't we be more good by living? It is easy to say we must live, but in reality, we all must die. So why not die making a stand for God? They might have said, we are in a different place in Rome. Do as the Romans do. Yet they knew that God has unlimited jurisdiction. We must do more than perform acts of religious obedience when we have an audience. They might have said, we will lose our jobs and our standard of living. Often when God blesses us, we make the blessing an idol. Uh-oh. And compromise God to keep what we have. They might have said, after all, we are not being called to renounce our God. They did not have a super elastic conscience that said, we are not bowing down to the idol, but only bowing down in respect for the king or in honor of the music. Excuses like this are common, but prove the principle that anything will serve as an excuse when the heart is bent on compromise. They might have said, everybody else is doing it. Instead, they cultivated brave personalities willing to stand alone with God. They might have said, it is only for once and not very long. 10 minutes just for the king. It is stupid to throw away our lives for 10 minutes. These men knew that 10 minutes could change an entire life. 10 minutes can chart the course for your eternity. They might have said, this is more than can be expected of us. God will understand just this once. It is true that God understands our struggle with sin. That is why he loves the sinner and made provision at the cross for freedom from the penalty, power, and presence of sin. Knowing that God understands should be a spur to obedience, not a license to sin. How certain are you this morning? Have you gave yourself a crack in the door just in case things don't work out? Are you certain about the decision that you've made for God, and are you willing to stand if it costs you everything? I'm going to hurt some feelings right here. Whoever told you standing for God was going to be comfortable lied to you. It's not. It's not. I'm not going to stand up here and paint the picture like it is. I'm not going to stand up here and paint the picture like being saved solves everything. I'm not going to stand up here and say, being saved, I won't ever face anything hard in my life. No, you're going to face some storms. You're going to face some storms. I'm thankful for the story in the New Testament where the Bible says that the men went across, the disciples going across the sea, and the Bible says that there were other little ships, but there was only one ship that had Jesus in it. Amen. Everybody on that lake was experiencing that storm, but there was only one boat that had Jesus in it. And we're all going to experience storms whether you've made a commitment to God or whether you live in a life of sin. But if you're going to go through the storm anyway, you may as well have Jesus in the boat. Have you made a commitment? Are you confident in God? Let me ask you this question. Are you leaving the door open to bow? Are you leaving the door open to bow? Are you giving yourself a way out? Are you certain? Number four, I love this one. We're going to shout for a minute. Is that all right? Number one, I noticed their choice. Number two, I want you to notice their confidence. Number three, their certainty. Number four, I want you to notice this. Their companion. Their companion. My favorite part of the story. Y'all bear with me. Verse number 25. The Bible says, he answered and said, this is Nebuchadnezzar, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." I'm thankful that when I live a life that is true for God, when I make the choice, when I have the right confidence, when I'm certain of my decisions, I'm glad that I don't have to face that all by myself. Amen. And when Nebuchadnezzar, old Slewfoot, Satan, a.k.a. the devil, when he grabs me, when he binds me, when he throws me into my fire, I don't have to walk through that fire alone. Somebody say amen. But I have a God who knows exactly where I am. He knows the exact temperature of the fire that I'm in. He knows exactly where I'm at. He knows who's standing next to me. He knows that I'm bound. He knows what I'm wearing. He knows the number of hairs on my head that are not singed, by the way. He knows where I'm at. And he knows where you're at this morning, amen. If you're living a true life for God, you will have a companion in your fire. When you live a life of truth, you can expect God to come through right on time. He might not come when you think he should. If we was the three Hebrew boys, we would have been praying that God came before we went into the fire. Somebody say amen. Look, Lord, if you'll just do me one favor, come a little early this time, okay? Come a little early, right before we walk in there. Just snatch us up and we'll be good, all right? How many of y'all would have prayed that prayer? I would have prayed that prayer. But he didn't do that. He didn't come when they thought he should. He didn't come on their timetable. He came right on time, amen. I love this right here. I stole this from somebody else. Y'all have to forgive me. Half the stuff I have, I stole, okay? I'm just being honest, okay? But every other preacher that stays up here stole it too, amen. They just don't tell you, all right? I'm just being honest. Can I be real with you? All right? Nebuchadnezzar made a mistake. This is a mistake he made. Y'all fixing to shout. If not, I'm going to shout by myself. He made a mistake. If he'd have thrown him in, Brother John, if he'd have took Shadrach and threw him in, let him burn up. He'd have took Meshach in, threw him in, let him burn up. He'd have been fine. But the problem was he threw them all in there together. Watch this. Watch this. And where two or three are gathered in his name, the Bible says there he's going to be in the midst. Amen. And I'm thankful that we got a God that when two or three are gathered together in His name, He will show up in the midst of us. Amen. Somebody say amen. That's worth shouting over. That's worth running around the building about. Amen. He didn't leave them boys in that fire by themselves. Them boys was walking into that fire thinking, this is the end. This is it. My life is over. I'm never going to have a family. I'm never going to have a great career. This is it. And only to find when they got into the fire that they were so worried about, here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus. Amen. I love that. But God. I love this part too. I stole this too. This is a silly question. If they were bound when they walked in, Brother Sheldon, and then they were loose, and not only were they loose, but they were walking around. Let me ask y'all this question. Why are they still in the fire? I mean, let's just be honest with one another. If the chains that are holding you fall off, and you have the ability to walk around, why don't you just walk out? I mean, that's a logical... Maris, help me. I mean, is it my Georgia Christian brain not working right? Or is this pretty simple right here? Walk out of the fire. You know why they didn't walk out of the fire? Because God was in the fire. He wasn't outside the fire. He was inside the fire. And some of y'all are so frustrated because you're still in a fire. It's been a year and you're still in the fire. It's been 3 years and you're still in the fire. Understand that God can get you out of that fire, but He might not be out there. He might not be outside that fire. Listen to me. Wherever fire you're in, whatever you're struggling with, if you will look around, He's there. Amen. He is there. He is there. Quit trying to get out of your fire so easy. Some of the sweetest, most greatest times of my spiritual life is right in the middle of a controversy, right in the middle of a trouble, right in the middle of a trial, when Jesus walks in right at the right time and shows you how great He is and how big He is and how He's got everything under control. Some of the sweetest times of my life. Quit trying to get out of your fire. Just quit. Turn around. Turn around and look. Lo, there's a fourth man. Let me ask you this question. Do you have a companion in the fire? If you don't, you might not be living a true life. Well, God just don't show up for me. When's the last time you showed up for Him? These boys was true. Before you expect the same blessing these boys got, you got to have the same commitment these boys got. You say, well, God just ain't showing up. Before you start blaming Him, are you living a true life? Lastly, and I'm done. I notice their choice. I notice their confidence. I notice their certainty. I notice their companion. I want you to notice, lastly, their cause. Why? Why should I live a true life? I'll tell you why. Verse number 28. The Bible says, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent His angel and delivered His servants that trusted in Him. And I have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. What's the cause? The cause is that many people will only see God by looking at how you walk through your fire. That's the cause. That's the cause. Why should I live a true life? Because there's people that are standing on the outside of your furnace, and as you're walking through it, they see God in your furnace. They see God in your furnace, and it hurts, and it burns, and you don't understand it. But listen to me. Listen to me. There's people that are standing on the outside of it. Mama, Daddy, listen to me this morning. Your kids are watching how you walk through the furnace. Grandparent, your kids are watching how you walk through the furnace. Spouse, your husband, your wife is watching you on how you handle your furnace. The cause is this: why should I live a true life? But because these three Hebrew boys stood, the king made a second decree. The first decree was bow to me. The second decree is bow to Him. And don't say anything bad about Him or I'll chop you up and throw you in a poop pile. That's what it says. Y'all think I'm crazy. That's what it says. You think we'd ever be at this point if they weren't true? Go ahead, Brother Matt. You think we'd ever be to where Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, y'all quit bowing to me. There's only one God. We'd never be at this point had it not been for three boys that said, but if not, we will not serve. We will not bow. We will not worship. I don't know about you, but I want to live a true life. If not just for my sanity, for my kids. For my kids' kids. For the youth group. Those teenagers don't need a youth pastor that says, I'll do my best. They need a youth pastor that says, but if not. They don't need a youth pastor that says, I hope. They need a youth pastor that says, I know. Are y'all with me? Say amen. My wife doesn't need a husband that says, we'll give it our best. She needs a husband that says, he will. But if not, I want to be a true Christian. When Satan says, is it true? I want to be able to look him right in the eyes and says, you better believe it. You better believe it. I wonder if there's anybody in this building this morning, you want to get around this altar and say, Lord, I might not have lived my best life up into this. I might not have been as true to you as I should have up into this point. But today I'm making a choice. Today I'm making a choice. Today I'm putting my confidence off of myself. I'm putting it in you. Today I'm certain. I'm not even going to give myself a way out, Lord, because I'm standing no matter what. This is it. I'm certain. If somebody's going to come down here and say, Lord, I need you. I need a companion. If I'm going to do this, if I'm going to live a life that's true, I'm going to need you to help me. I'm going to need you to walk with me. I'm going to need to be able to turn around and see you in my fire. I want somebody to come down here and pray and say, Lord, help me not to forget the cause. Help me not to forget the cause. I think about David and Goliath, and David goes down to the battlefield, and his brother looks at him and says, what are you doing here? And David says, is there not a cause? Church, is there not a cause? Look who's sitting next to you. Is there not a cause this morning? There's a cause. There's a reason to be true. There's a reason to live a life that is true. God help us this morning. Let's pray. Lord, I love you so much. God, I'm not confident in myself. I'll fall. I'll fail. I'll embarrass you. I'll embarrass myself every single time. Lord, I'm nothing without you. I'm nothing without you. Lord, I pray that we not just let this go in one ear and out the other. Lord, I don't want to just live a normal life. I want to live a true life. Lord, I want to be confident. Lord, I want to be certain. Lord, I want to help the cause. Lord, I pray that you'd help me. Lord, I pray that you'd help me. I pray that you'd help our church this morning. I pray that you'd set somebody's heart on fire for you this morning. I pray that you'd burden somebody this morning for the cause. I pray for somebody who's been on the fence trying to decide whether they really want to stand or not. I pray that you'd help them to stand this morning. Or for somebody who's made a half-hearted decision, I pray that you'd give them help them to make a wholehearted decision this morning. Lord, I hate to speak on your behalf, but I can see how you could be tired of people making commitments and not following through. Help us this morning, God. Help us. We need you desperately. Desperately we need you. Every hour I need you. Pray that you'd help us the rest of the service. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed, real quickly if you don't mind. Real quickly if you don't mind. If there's anybody in here, real quickly. You say, Brother Dalton, if I was to die right now, I don't know where I'd spend my eternity. A simple question. Eternity is real. Whether you believe it or not, it's real. You'll go to a place called heaven or you'll go to a place called hell. As simple as that. It's black and white. It's heaven or hell. You have to make the decision. Will I go to heaven? Will I go to hell? God gives us an opportunity to go to heaven, but it's up to us to make that decision. I wonder if there's anybody in this room this morning. Just be honest with me. Be honest with yourself first. Just be honest with me and say, Brother Dalton, I don't know. If there's anybody in here, you say, I don't know where I'd spend my eternity. Or maybe you say, I don't think I'd spend it in heaven. If there's somebody like that, I want you to look at me. Is there anybody like that? Real quickly. Anybody like that? I'm not going to call you out and embarrass you. Just want to know. Anybody like that? Can I pray for you? Anybody like that? Head's still bowed, eyes still closed. I want to ask this question. How many of y'all in here after this morning, after the Word of God, how many of y'all by raise of hand would say, I'm tired of not living a true life? Anybody like that? My hand's in the air. Hands all over the room. Hands all over the room. Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning. Every single one of us, every hand that was just raised. Lord, including my own. I don't want to live a life that's mediocre. I want to live a life that's true. I pray that you'd help us to do that. We're expecting you to do great things. Lord, in our church, in our lives, in our country, in our world, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to be a part of the cause. Lord, we love you so much. Lord, we thank you for showing up this morning. Lord, your presence was felt. I pray that you'd keep this message on our mind long after we leave this church today. Well, thank you. We'll give you glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.